1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 8 through 17 this morning. And as we do, could you please stand? We're gonna read God's word, or I'm going to read God's word. And if you can, would you please stand for just the reading of God's word? So verse 8 through 17, Peter writes, "Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who is here to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the ways in which you speak to us through it. We ask that you would give us these ears to hear and hearts to really understand this word. Lord, that you would take this truth and you would use it to sharpen us as a church, that we might come to know you better because of this word, that we would be more in passion, or have more passion, Lord, to follow Christ because of this word. Lord, that our faith would be strengthened because of what we find here in your word. Lord, would you do this for your glory? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So in this section of Peter's letter, what we find is a transition. He's transitioning from teaching us about submission and being subject to all of those people and institutions that have authority over us, to now focusing our attention on suffering. Specifically, what it means to endure suffering as we live out our faith in this world as elect exiles. He's going to teach us how to persevere through trials, not just for a few days, but rather he's going to teach us how to persevere through trials and suffering that might last a lifetime or until Jesus returns and we receive our eternal inheritance with him in heaven. You see, we need this teaching. And honestly, if you've been paying attention to what we've been going through together as a church, as we've walked through 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, we walked through Daniel, and now we're in 1st Peter, it feels like the Lord is constantly seeking to encourage us as a church, seeking to build up our faith and remind us that we have a better home than this place that we're currently living in. And having that mindset of something better out there that awaits us, he uses that to help us persevere in the life that he has now called us to live, that's marked by suffering, that's marked by trouble, that's marked by hardship. And so we need this teaching. We need this teaching because we need to learn what it means to pick up our crosses and follow Jesus Christ. Because this is not an easy task. Peter's original readers were experiencing all sorts of suffering because of their newfound faith. And so it wasn't this great ordeal. It wasn't like they were immediately being burned for their faith. What the suffering he was addressing in this first letter were just the common, ordinary things that happen to believers once they get saved, as they get called out of this world, and they just realize that you just don't quite fit anymore because you believe something different, because you have this conviction and you hold to it, and you live your life for somebody greater than this world. You live it for somebody not yourself. You live it for the glory of God, and he's defined that in a certain way, and that way, it doesn't always fit in this world. And so they were experiencing that. They were experiencing persecution. And life was a bit uncomfortable for them as they found themselves being rejected by others, being blamed for almost everything because they trusted in Christ. And so he writes this letter to them to teach them how to endure in their suffering, to teach them how to live as elect exiles in the world that God has placed them to live in. And it's not easy. It's not easy. We need hope. We need encouragement to persevere. We need to learn how to endure, because the reality is we will experience suffering, especially if you desire to live a faithful life following Jesus Christ. Eventually, what will happen is you will find yourself in an uncomfortable situation where your faith will be tested. We're warned about that in Scripture. And so we need this teaching for that reason, to be encouraged and to be built up and to learn, how do we do this together as a church? I got two stories for you from our brothers around the world. The first one comes from India. And it's a story about suffering, and it's current. Here's the story. It's from Voice of the Martyrs. It says, a young man was arrested recently after sharing his testimony in a home Bible study. His name is Karamjit. He was raised in the Sikh faith and was invited to share his testimony with a small group of leaders on March 13th, 2019. As he was speaking, police entered the home and arrested him. Local leaders had filed a complaint against him, alleging that he was forcibly converting people to Christianity. Karamjit is currently in jail and has been denied bail 3 times. Karamjit is neither a pastor nor a leader in the church, but simply a Christian sharing what God has done in his life. He has a wife and a young child, and they are now being threatened because of their faith. So I like to share stories like this with us, because sometimes they can just seem so far away from us. We're learning about suffering, and we're learning about what it means to pick up a cross and follow Christ, and we're taught that means we might be rejected. That means people might not like us, and what are we to do with that? And these are real stories that are happening to our real people in this world that we live in, because they believe in Jesus Christ. Now listen to this next one. Also comes from Voice of the Martyrs. This is happening in Uganda. This man's name is Subi. When Subi became a believer, his wife and children were given to another man, and he was fired from his job, which was teaching Islam. Then his family tried to kill him. Despite these difficulties, Subi was determined to follow Christ, even when he felt the Lord leading him to go back and share the gospel with his people. Subi was attacked, harassed, abused, and beaten as he shared the gospel door to door. And recently, he was given poisoned fruit, which made him ill. But when his family confronted him again, he told them, Christ changed me, and I cannot forsake him for anything. And the prayer request is that Subi would recover from his illness and pray for his family, that they might not be targeted for his Christian faith. These are real stories. Faithfully following Jesus Christ in this world is not easy. It takes endurance to persevere through trials and suffering, especially when these trials last a lifetime. And so we're going to learn this morning how to endure through trials, how to endure through persecution, how to endure when life gets a bit uncomfortable because we believe in Jesus and we're seeking to follow him and seeking to honor him in all that we do. And this specific truth is what we're going to learn right here. We're going to learn that it's better to live with Christ as Lord and suffer than to live in comfort and never live or speak of him. It's better to live with Christ as Lord and suffer than to live in comfort and never live or speak of him. And so as we dig into this truth, we're going to look at two ways in which we can endure suffering. In our first point, we learned that we are to endure suffering by being a blessing to others. Point number one, we endure suffering. We persevere in suffering, in hard things, by seeking to be a blessing to the people around us. In verse 8, Peter names five characteristics of the life that brings blessings to others. Look at verse 8. He says, finally, all of you, I remember who he's talking to. He's talking to the church. He's talking to these men and women who are living as elect exiles in this world, and he's drawing their attention to things that are really important here. He says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. As we live out our faith in this world, it's so important that the church is united in and around the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, the church will experience all sorts of suffering. We could just start talking about it in here if we just open up the mic and just start sharing our lives and just sharing experiences. What we'll find out is there's a lot of suffering that happens together as a church. Sometimes we all go through it together. Sometimes it's individual, but we go through suffering. And if we're going to endure this suffering together, Peter writes that we need to be like-minded brothers and sisters who are committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ and seeking to help one another walk out this faith through hard things. We need the encouragement from one another to keep running this race of faith so that we don't give up and quit. See, that's the effect when life gets hard, isn't it? It's when it gets hard. Sometimes we just want to stop. We want the suffering or the burden to be taken from us, but it also can have this effect where it's so heavy sometimes where all we want to do is we just want to give up. That's a common response. Well, the Lord has created this thing called the church where we get to live together in community with one another, having this like-mindedness so that we can walk through tough things together, that we can encourage one another together, that we might have this like-mindedness that he's talking about here. And this is a mind that's been given to us. It's already ours through faith in Christ Jesus. And so Paul writes about this in Philippians chapter 2, where he says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And so we endure suffering together as believers in the church by being like-minded and encouraging one another in the gospel. We also endure suffering by being sympathetic towards one another. Sympathy here means a readiness to rejoice with those who are rejoicing and to mourn with those who are mourning. It means we don't sit on the sidelines as we watch a brother or sister suffer. It means we enter into their suffering with them. We help to carry their burdens for them. We walk alongside them because we're family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. When one of us is hurting, we all experience it, or we seek to experience it together. This is why Peter writes that we are to have brotherly love for one another. See, I love this because it's a reminder, we are not just friends. We're not just friends. We're family. We've been united together through faith in Jesus Christ, and that has connected us in a real way, in a powerful way, and it finds expression in the way that we live out our lives together, in the way that we, specifically in this context, in the way that we suffer together. And so we endure suffering together as family, showing brotherly love towards one another, not again standing on the sidelines, but entering into the pain, entering into the persecution or the rejection or the hardship, all of the suffering. We seek to extend brotherly love towards one another. We seek to show affection to one another because we're family. That's important. We seek to endure suffering with one another, showing brotherly love, also having these tender hearts. This means we have compassion for one another. It means we're concerned for one another's well-being. Instead of saying things like, you just kind of need to get over it, we listen. We pay attention to how one another's feeling. We again enter into that. And at times there's going to be a need to kind of just get over things, but having tender hearts towards one another means we listen well. And again, we enter into the pain of those who are hurting, and we seek to do this in a soft and gentle way. In a real way, we seek to treat people the way Christ has and does treat us as his people. See, he's not harsh with us. He doesn't just kind of tell us, hey, just get over it. You'll be okay. But instead, he's merciful, and he sympathizes with our weakness. He's kind, and he's patient with us. So as we think about these characteristics, you see, they're going to be tested for us. There's going to be times for us as a church. There's going to be times for you individually to put these things into practice, to live out brotherly love, to have a tender heart, to be reminded of this like-mindedness so that you can actually care for one another. So a question might be this: when you find a brother or sister suffering, walking through hardship, just ask yourself this question. What does compassion look like for this person? What would it look like for you to love this person with a brotherly love? What would it look like for you to have a tender heart towards this person who's hurting? And then by the grace of God, act, respond, enter into their pain. And Peter, finally, he instructs us to have this humble mind. So as we endure suffering together, he highlights this aspect, which is very similar to this like-mindedness, but he's getting after something just a little nuanced here. He wants us to have a humble mind, which literally means to have a low-mindedness. So as you walk through suffering, as you seek to endure pain and hardship, he says to have a low-mindedness about yourself, to not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. And again, I'm going to look at Philippians chapter 2, because what we see in there is we see Christ's example of what it means to have a humble mind or to be low-minded. So chapter 2, verse 5, he writes the following. He says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He had a low-mindedness, who, though in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but instead he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And so when you're thinking, okay, so what does it mean to have this humble mind? Or what does it mean to have a low-mindedness as we walk through suffering? It's this. It's what we find right here in those verses that I just shared with you. Jesus, who though in the form of God did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. So instead of claiming to be God, what he did is he humbled himself to the point of death. He willingly walked to the cross. He willingly allowed for men to beat him. He willingly allowed for men to drive nails through his hands and his feet and to raise him up on the cross and to mock him and to kill him. So there's an example, there's a picture of what it means to have this low-mindedness, this humble mind. Our Savior lived this out for us, and he has given us this mind through faith in him. And what Peter is saying, as you walk through suffering together as a church, have this. Remind one another of this humble mind. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Have a low-mindedness about yourself. You see, humble minds, in the end, what they do is they serve. Low-minded people, as Peter's getting at here, is what they do is they seek to give their lives away, not seeking to claim things for themselves. And what he's getting at here is that low-mindedness, it transforms suffering. It changes it for us as we walk through it, and it changes the way in which we seek to care for people who are walking through hardships, who are suffering themselves. Humble minds serve. In verse 9, Peter specifically instructs us not to repay evil for evil, but instead to bless those who hurt us. And again, remember, we're talking about how do we walk through suffering? How do we walk through those moments when we're being rejected because we trust in Jesus Christ? How do we walk through times like Subi walked through? Listen to what he says. Verse 9, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. This is not easy, is it? Like, he's just basically saying to Subi, just let's use Subi as an example. I know they've taken your family, and I know they've beaten you, and I know they've poisoned you, but do not repay evil for evil. Don't find more poison fruit and knock on people's doors and hand out poison fruit to those people. Instead, what I want you to do, Subi, is I want you to bless those people. I want you to care for those people. I want you to love the people who are rejecting you for your faith. That's not an easy thing to do. See, the world we live in, it loves to repay evil for evil. It loves to strike back. It loves to fight back when being attacked. But God's ways are not the ways of this world. If we're called to endure suffering, if we're called to endure hardship and persecution and rejection, what is a call to? It's a call to bless people. It's a call to ultimately trust the Lord and not throw punches back or not insult those who are insulting us. It's so countercultural. See, I love the stories that I just shared with you at the beginning of this message. I love listening to Subi's story because here's a man who had almost everything taken from him. And instead of retaliating, he goes back and he knocks on doors and he seeks to share the gospel with these people. I mean, you just think, who does that? You know, who intentionally seeks to put themselves in harm's way like that? And the answer is that's what Christians do. That's what God calls us to do. That's a picture of what an elect exile is. Somebody who's been called out of this world, doesn't quite fit in this world anymore, and it's uncomfortable. There's actually people in this world that may not like you because you believe in Jesus Christ. And what Peter's saying is that's okay and that should be expected. And your response is you don't hate those people. You're called to love those people. You're called to go back and share the gospel with those people, like what Subi was doing. And so it's not easy. It's not easy, but it's what we've been called to. We've been called to bless. Now, this has been in my mind all week as I've been thinking about my own life and family, and I'm thinking about Subi and all that kind of stuff, and I'm trying to bring it back into our own context. And I think it fits into our context almost on a daily basis. Think about your life, even just this past week. Did something happen to you? Did somebody do something to you that you didn't like? Somebody say something to you that maybe you didn't like? Somebody seek to hurt you, whether intentionally or unintentionally, and you felt it. And initially, like, my response in those moments is, I want to hurt them back. Hope I'm not alone in that. That's what I feel. I don't know. I don't respond on that, but that's what I feel. But instead, here's the response in those moments. Moms, when your kids are like at you, the response is not to enter into their little fight, but instead to bless. That's how you endure trials. That's how you endure hardship, is you seek to bless those around you. And the reason for this is, one, it honors and glorifies God, but the other one is, he says, that you may obtain a blessing from God. That you may obtain a blessing from God. What he means is that we bless others because we've been blessed by God through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And so we were God's enemies, yet he chose to bless us by saving us and giving us this eternal life. We weren't seeking after God, yet he came after us. We were unkind and ungrateful, yet Jesus was kind to us. Luke chapter 6, he was kind and merciful to us by saving us. And so the blessing that Peter's talking about here is this future inheritance in heaven that awaits us. And so we seek to do good to those who hurt us. We seek to bless those who hurt us because we have a blessing that awaits us. That's what he's getting at after here. He's trying to, in a sense, remind us that we live in this life as elect exiles. It's going to be hard. You're going to experience pain. You're going to experience suffering. And your response to that is to bless others because you have a blessing that awaits you. You live for something so much more than this world. I know sometimes it's hard to see in the midst of a conflict or in the midst of the pain, but that's what Peter's trying to remind us here, is no, there's something better that awaits you than what you're currently experiencing. And so we bless so that we might obtain this blessing that awaits us. Now, Juan Sanchez, he said this about the passage in his commentary. He says, Peter is saying, as you seek to bless, even as you suffer, you can know that you are walking toward your inheritance. It is as you live the Christian life that you can look forward to life with Christ. We suffer well now, not in order to be a Christian, but because we are a Christian, because we know our inheritance awaits us. I love that language here. We suffer now, knowing that we're walking towards an inheritance. It's already been purchased for us. And so we bless so that in the end we will obtain what Christ has already given to us through faith in him. See how that just, it transforms. I would imagine Subi sort of had that somewhere in his mind. As he's walking from door to door, knowing that there could be more hardship after each knock. I would imagine he has a vision of, he's walking not just door to door, he's walking one step closer to the inheritance that awaits him, the blessing. It radically changes suffering. Radically changes our suffering. Juan Sanchez also says this, Peter calls us to live in a way that gives evidence that we are who we say we are, because God will reward those whose lives proved faithful and judge those who remained in their sins. As we endure righteous suffering, blessing others, turning away from evil and doing good, pursuing peace, we can rest assured that God will bless us with our future inheritance. And so, again, it's not about earning this blessing. It's not, hey, I need you to do a lot of really, really good things as you suffer so that you might obtain this inheritance. That's not the sense of the spin in what he's saying there. What he's saying is you seek to bless people because this inheritance awaits you. And the way you respond by doing good and blessing people, it gives evidence to the fact that this inheritance is yours because Christ has really saved you and transformed you. So it's not about earning this eternal inheritance. It's about receiving what Christ has done for you. It's a life of faith. So as you walk through hardship, as you walk through suffering, bless. If you're in the midst of suffering right now, if life is hard for you right now, just ask yourself this one question. Who can I bless? Who is God calling me to do good to serve? And then walk through that with this great hope. You have an inheritance that awaits you. This home is not your home. There's something so much better for all of us. And it radically transforms pain and suffering at times. And this leads us into our second and final point. Endure suffering for the sake of the mission to reach the lost. So far, Peter has helped us see that our suffering is an opportunity to bless those around us, to do good to those who seek to harm us. And now in these final five verses, he encourages us to persevere for the sake of the mission and the glory of God. Verse 13, he says, "Now, who is there to harm you if you're zealous for what is good?" It's a great question. I'm sure we could answer. I'm sure Subi probably has a few names of people that he would say, well, this person actually is trying to harm me. My family actually, they're trying to kill me. This person gave me some poison fruit. It didn't kill me, but I don't quite feel the same. And so there's probably some people we could answer to, but listen to how Peter answers it. Verse 14, he said, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed." See, this is what motivated, I think, Subi to pick up that cross and continue to move forward to the people that were trying to persecute him. He didn't quite see his suffering as a bad thing. He was overfilled with joy of his salvation, and nothing could stop him from telling others about Jesus and his newfound faith. Peter goes on to say the following. He says, "Have no fear of them." Don't fear these people who can harm you. Don't fear these people who are rejecting you. But in your heart of hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. Our suffering for righteousness' sake is an opportunity given to us by God to testify to the love of God in and through Jesus Christ. So you read those stories at the beginning of this message and you just think, man, that's horrible, isn't it? Horrible. Thinking about brothers and sisters being persecuted, losing lives, being arrested at a home Bible study because they're sharing their testimony. It's just horrible. I mean, just think about right now, if that was to happen in this context, what would you do? Mr. Watkins is sitting right here and the police walk in and all of a sudden, they grab him and they take him away. What would you do? It'd be horrible. But what we're learning here in this context is it is horrible, but it's also an opportunity given to us by God to be his witnesses. See, if we really believe that God is at work in all things for the good of those that love him, then that would mean he's at work in this situation. That would mean he's at work in your situation, your pain, your heart, your being rejected for your faith, whether it's in your home or it's at your workplace or it's out in this world, God knows about those things. It's not catching him by surprise. That man getting thrown in jail was not a surprise to God. Subi losing his family, almost being killed, that's not a surprise to God. That's God, what we're learning here, that's God providing an opportunity for Subi then to go and share the gospel. Now, if that seems a bit crazy, it does a little bit in the sense of, I don't know how that all fits together. I think when we bump up into mystery and the work of God, there's always going to be a bit of that sort of mystery. How does that work for the good? We know you say it does, but how does it? I don't know that we can answer all those detailed questions, but this is where the big truths answer that for us enough to continue to move forward. Point being is, as we suffer, as we walk through hard things, as we find ourselves being rejected for our faith, we need to understand God is giving us an opportunity to share the gospel. Because eventually people will ask. That's what he's getting at here, is be ready. Be ready in the midst of your suffering to tell people about the reason you have hope in it. Think again about Subi. This man is lost everything, yet he's knocking on doors to share the gospel. And these people hate him. They're seeking to reject him, but until he dies, he's persevering in this. And eventually somebody's going to say, are you crazy? I would imagine somebody would. Are you crazy? I mean, all this man has to do is say, you know what? I was crazy for about 3 months. I don't believe that anymore. He could go back to teaching people Islam, and he could go back to having his family and just living a comfortable life. But he's not. That's all he had to do to get that life back. So you would think eventually somebody's going to say, are you crazy? Why do you continue to believe in Jesus? Why do you continue to knock on doors? That's where this leads to. As we persevere through hard things, through being rejected for our faith, there will come a time when you're going to have to testify to the hope that God has given to you through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's a good thing. See, the power of the gospel is what saves people. And God is at work through your life, through your endurance, through your blessing those who hurt you, using it to testify to the truth and the power of the gospel. Think about it. We get so enamored at times, like we just want to see a sign. You know, who wouldn't like to see somebody feed 5,000 people with just a couple fish? That's pretty cool. Or to raise somebody from the dead. That's powerful, isn't it? And God used those things, and he can use those signs to grab people's attention. But he also uses people who endure suffering as a sign of the power of the gospel. He uses your faithfulness, your life, to endure, to not repay evil for evil, but instead to repay evil with good. That testifies to the power of the gospel. Because eventually you say, why in the world would somebody do that? And then to that you say, well, here's why. Because I was an enemy of Jesus Christ. Arrogant, proud, loved myself, hated him, mocked him, actually used his name at times just in vain, just would use it in casual conversations. But God came after me, and he saved me. He gave me a new heart and this new desire to love him. And as I've been learning about him more and more, what I've found is he's also given me this eternal life. He's given me this new home. He's called me out of this world, and he's given me this hope of this better place, this home in heaven together with him, where I'm going to spend eternity with him forever and ever. And so I live today in light of that day. I live today in light of the fact that I know that this is waiting for me. And so, yes, this is hard. Life is hard. It's painful. I feel it. Cry myself to sleep some nights. But I live with my hope that's in heaven. And you know what? You can have the same hope too. It's yours. He freely offers this to anyone who would believe in him. Will you believe? Will you trust that Jesus is who he says he is? Will you repent of your sins? Will you receive eternal life? Will you receive hope through Him? You're going to be asked. If you want to live a faithful life in Christ Jesus, you will be persecuted. It'll happen. It might not be like Subi, but you will be rejected. Will you be ready? Will you see it as an opportunity to bless those around you, to honor God in the way in which you respond to pain? Will you be ready to share the gospel, the good news, with the world around you that's watching? See, you don't know who's watching. It could be your kids. See, you could experience this rejection in your home, and your kids can be watching. And there's going to be a season. The Lord's going to say, be ready in that season, because they're going to ask. Be ready. See, church, we have an opportunity in the midst of our suffering to bear witness to the gospel, to be a part of the mission that God has called us to. And so what we do is we endure. We endure by faith, trusting in Jesus Christ. If I can have the band join me, please. We're going to close by singing. And as we do, I want to just read verse 17. It says this. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. See, if God so wills, we will have the opportunity to suffer for doing good. And that's a good thing. So may we, in those moments, persevere. Trust God that He is who He says He is. Let us trust in the power of the gospel. And let us trust in the Holy Spirit to comfort us and empower us to walk. For these things have been given to us through faith in Jesus. Let's stand and let's worship.